Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Sports stories have dominated Australian headlines for the past 6 months. There seems to be a new scandal of some sort every other minute. This week has been no different. To help us wrap our heads around the big stories, resident sports guru Thomas Whalen joins us. Thomas, welcome back to Open House.
Thanks for having me on, Lee.
Good on you. Thomas, let's start with David Beckham's retirement. Massive response from soccer fans, understandably, in particular. Does it justify the kind of impact he's had on the sport?
Oh, look, I think David Beckham has had a wonderful and huge impact on the sport of football. I think he's introduced so many non-football fans to the sport, not only by his professionalism, but by his prowess on the pitch as well. Obviously, everyone knows him in the media and the spotlight and his wife, Victoria. But look, I think he has brought so much to the game. He's shown how it is to be an athlete at the very lowest point of his career, I suppose, back in 98, when many of his own England fans blamed him for the World Cup loss.
Yes.
And then moving all the way through to, obviously, some of the best successes as a football player can achieve.
What kind of mark will he leave on the game, Thomas, as a player, but also as a character?
Oh, look, as a player, Bendit like Beckham is obviously synonymous with football and with Beckham, obviously, and what he's brought to the game and some of the things that he could achieve on the pitch that many other players couldn't. Look, I think when I think of David Beckham, I think of a true professional athlete. He had all of the media attention off the pitch, but I don't think his form really ever wavered on the pitch. He was a true professional. He was described by Sir Alex Ferguson as an absolute professional, and that's the way he got to the top, not by talent alone, because he just basically worked more and more than anyone else in the team did. And I was very fortunate as well to watch him. I was over in Manchester for the Water Polo Commonwealth Games Championships, and we went and saw the team playing, and he was there. And it was very true to see what he was doing after the training, just constantly barrading the goals with his bended like Beckham kind of signature kicks. And look, I think it's more for the professionalism that I hold him in such high esteem, but also for the devoted husband and father that he is too.
Yes, the glamour of his life and the multi-million dollar endorsements have helped, but without performance on the pitch, they just wouldn't be there, would they?
No, absolutely. That's the biggest thing I hold for his credibility, I suppose, is the fact that he was able to balance all of that media attention and the glamour off the pitch. But I think his form just everywhere he went, whether that was in USA with the Galaxy, whether that was in Spain with Real Madrid, whether that was obviously back in the start of his career in Manchester United, or even in the end of his career with Paris. And he won titles with all four of those teams, and he obviously had so much success, even though he was always in the spotlight with the media.
Bravo. Some other big news of the past week, Thomas, the spot-fixing scandal in the Indian Premier League cricket. Do you think offenders should be banned from the game? That's it, forever.
Yeah, look, I think it's such a huge issue. Match fixing, unfortunately, it's not a new thing to sport. In cricket alone, many years ago, it came out, and it will continue to because of the stakes put on each game now. The gambling that goes on in games is, unfortunately, you could almost say gambling has become bigger than the fans to the sport because of the money that's involved. I agree with you. There has to be some very, very harsh punishments put out to individuals that are involved in match fixing. I'm sure in many circumstances, in many different parts of the world, there's arguments for and against how that occurs, if they're pressured into it by mafia organisations or anything. But to uphold the integrity of sport and to the fans, who are the most important part of the game, apart from the athletes, I think, yeah, absolutely, very, very harsh bans need to come in place.
There has been a lot of talk over the past few weeks, a lot of pressure on some of the television networks about the rate of gambling advertising on the screen, in the programmes, even editorially in the programmes as they present sport. What's your take on it, Thomas? Would you like to see it back off?
Yeah, look, I think it is becoming blurred, what is commentary and what is gambling. And look, I think it is going too far. I think it is a bit of a shame when we have such an emphasis on the odds of sport and on the gambling odds of sport. We can't just appreciate the beauty of our sport without being barraged by advertisements of what the odds are and how you can make a little bit more money on sport. And yeah, I think it is a shame, and there has to be something done to really control what's being put in front of the pure sports fan and their children as well, for that matter.
Let's talk rugby league. Benji Marshall dropped to the bench for the Tigers this weekend as someone who's taken the game of NRL by storm with such skills, such quality performances over the years. How shattering would this be for him?
Yeah, look, it would be shattering because he has admitted it himself that his confidence is low. But it's not being dropped from the team per se. And the fact is that this is a team sport, and as his coach said to him, look, this is a team sport and I've made this decision based on the team. It's not just about Benji. But look, he is a great athlete, and this will probably be a little bit of a wake-up call to him to say, look, okay, what is it that I have to do to get my form back? He said he's lost his confidence. I don't believe you lose confidence per se. Confidence is not a physical thing. We all go searching for it when it's not there, but all of a sudden you have a good game and it magically appears. So he probably just has to go back, do the things that made him become a great player in the first instance. And if that's doing more work in the training, then that's it. He's just got to do the tasks week in, week out, and his confidence will come back because his game will come back because he's a brilliant player and he's proved that many times over.
He's probably been putting a lot of pressure on himself to perform, return to form.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, he's coming to 29. He's looking at trying to re-sign a four-year contract, I think, with Balmain. So there are a lot of things on the outside as well. And then he's also coming to that probably that final stage of his career where he wants to leave a true legacy for the player that he is, whether that's in his individual role or as a leader as well. And there's a lot of commentary based around that as well, that to be likened to some of the greats of the game. So, look, I'm sure he's put a lot of pressure on himself and he's getting a lot of pressure from the outside, but he's a brilliant player. He'll come back.
Thomas, can I ask you how much you rate the confidence factor, your own mind games that you inevitably play in any high-performance sport or not? How did you maintain confidence in the many Olympics in which you competed?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it really came to light my final Olympics in the fourth Olympics, and we did a lot of preparation leading into this with our team sports psychologist. And even going into the fourth Olympics, I'd forgotten how much pressure there is, but I was just so appreciative that we had gone through so many exercises and talking about confidence, whether it exists or not, and just doing the task ahead. Yeah, throughout my career, it was up and down. I remember having an entire season, so I can certainly relate to Benji, that things just weren't going right no matter how hard I played or trained. It just wasn't happening. But I just stuck with it. I just knew the player that I was and kept with it and eventually came back. And it's not an easy thing. You constantly, week to week, and especially with these rugby league players, they're in the media every single week, whether they play well or not, for good or bad. They've got to take that on the chin and put it on the park in the next week. So, yeah, I certainly empathise with them. And, it's not an easy game. When I was going into Sydney 2000 as a young player, it was all just about the water polo, it was all just about the sport, it was all just about the gold medal. And the further you go on through your career, the further you have your faith level, the further you have other things outside of the sport, like the love of your family and your friends and how much more you appreciate them, that certainly plays a huge role in your confidence, because you realise that this is not do or die. This, at the end of the day, is a game. It's a sport which I love doing, but it doesn't represent necessarily who I am just by how I perform on the pitch. There's so much more that represents me that I know about, that a lot of people don't know about, and I think that plays a huge aspect in your confidence.
Thomas Whalen, I love your insights. I love your perspective. Thank you so much indeed for bringing us up to date on the world of sport.
Thanks so much, Lee. Love to be with you.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.